friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
This is
Val,
Courtney,
and Lisa, and we are here with
Tara
and Gary.
Yeah, so everyone knows the voices, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Keep track of all that. I know, I love it. So we are so excited to talk to you guys because you guys do come from a very diverse background.
We do.
I want to hear, like, tell us.
Like,
I know Tara's background more than I know yours, but yeah, spill the beans, Gary.
Excuse me. Well,
tell us about yourself.
Where I was born at Fort Ord, Monterey. My dad was military at the time. We have property in Monterey, so I kind of grew up in a little town called Watsonville, California.
How big? I've never heard of it.
It's the strawberry capital of California.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, next to Gilroy and all that, next to Monterey.
Okay.
We moved to Riverside in 77. That's where I grew up, went to high school. I went to North Travis High School, and it was on the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh,
okay.
It was in a tough part of town. Excuse me.
So you learned a lot of lessons.
Yeah. Came from great parents. My dad owned a construction business. My mom literally was a maid.
Mm-hmm. That's hard work.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah. Didn't come from privilege at all.
Yeah.
But we had a great life. I used to race motocross, off-road trucks.
Oh, that's so
fun. She went to an off-road race. First time we used to race those desert trucks across the desert. Rolled it that day, the first time she comes.
Did you lead it when it rolled?
No, I was on the sidelines with his dad. And
Were you just terrified for him?
What was his dad's reaction? He's like, oh, it's fine. I'll just get the truck, we got
to go find it. Because we used to do 100-mile laps. And it's those trucks have you ever seen, like the Mickey Thompson old off-road big trucks?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what we were doing, and they had to come get us. We were fine, but I told her, we're fine, we're safe, we never have accidents.
Yeah. This was before cell phones.
Oh, yes.
I want to know how that worked. Like, how did you say, by the way?
Oh, that was a CD.
We had CDs.
Because I heard on the CD. Oh,
like a CD, like that.
Like a two-way
walkie-talkie. Roger, roger that.
It was like seven race.
But you're lucky that it, like, didn't get broken when you, like, rolled the machine and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, so that's how you got a hold of, like, walkie-talkie.
Yeah, so that's the kind of lifestyle I had. I mean, I grew up motorcycles, military. My dad was, we'd go to the desert, shoot guns. And, you know,
did you have a lot of brothers?
I have one brother.
And you were on the bad side of the street, so some of the guns were being shot around you.
So when you were, in those years, that was like 1970 to 80-ish?
I'd say racing, that was 90, 89. But growing up, like I said, we moved to Riverside in 77.
Yeah.
So late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, rural. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds to me like that area was farmland.
No, Riverside at that time, kind of, but
it was growing.
It was growing.
Yeah. So did you do dirt bikes or did you just do
dirt buggies?
Okay, so remind me after, to ask you if you know certain people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask you about some people after.
I came from a completely steak and potato kind of family.
So one brother, any sisters?
No.
Because you're now surrounded by women.
Oh, yeah.
No, I love it.
They have three kids. Three daughters.
Three daughters.
Oh, and our eldest
was the first female Goodwin in three generations.
Yes.
Wow.
And then his brother went on to have two girls.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, okay.
So my dad, I want you to know, it's the men's fault, not the women.
We're not the one passing on the XY. It's all on you.
It was really interesting. But even though, you know, one thing I do remember when I first met Gary about his house and his family and his dad is that they were always outside and there was always the neighbors gravitated towards his dad. And they were always getting their car fixed or somebody was bringing something over to fix. And he'd be up till midnight doing mechanic stuff for the neighbor. And
We always had race cars and motorcycles at our house, teaching everyone to do everything. Yeah.
Wow. That's
a lot of fights. We got a lot of fights. I grew up in tough neighborhoods. So
yeah.
lot of fights.
Wait, between the neighborhood kids or your brother?
My brother and others. We'd have to fight to get home from school because we went to some pretty tough schools. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you got to be rough and tumble.
Yeah. It was quite a different life.
He was.
I didn't know that then, but.
Then you domesticated him?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how were you raised? So, yes. You were battling on the way home. So.
This is like complete polar opposite.
When you hear her story from me, it's going to be, you're like, well, how, what did you
even? So I grew up in England.
Lovely.
Until I was, 14, I moved to the States. Mm-hmm. So I would say, very privileged, mm-hmm. very reserved British home.
Where in?
So we kind of were all over. My dad was an entrepreneur and he just did a lot of stuff everywhere. We did a lot of travel in different countries. We were just everywhere. He traveled a lot. I was home with my mom. I'm one of four. I did lose a sister when she was 4 and a half, my older sister. Mm-hmm. So she did have...
That's hard.
I grew up the oldest, but I technically wasn't the oldest.
Okay.
So I do have two sisters and one brother. I actually do have a brother that is a half brother mm-hmm. that we didn't find out till much later in life. And I don't even know, Lisa, if you even know that story.
No,
That's a whole other story. So my mom does have a book. So
nice.
You should.
It does.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll have to read it.
So, I can give you a little synopsis, but my mom actually has a son with Brian Jones from the Rolling Stones.
Oh,
so
that's a whole other story. That is a story.
Well, my mom
that
was.
Is like such
yeah.
a story.
Yes.
My mother was a Rolling Stone.
Yeah. So she was actually, and her story is really actually very sad. She was sent away to an unwed mother's home and had him. So it's a whole story, but she's, she did write a book about
it. Was she very, very young?
She was 19, so she wasn't so young, but it was a very strict Catholic family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was just a whole other story. But
yeah, okay.
So, but we did reunite.
And that was in England?
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
So we reunited the year I think we got married.
It was, because I remember we were at Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
So how did you, now let's go back to how did you two actually meet?
Well, you grew up in England, moved to America.
Moved to the States when I was 14.
And you moved to California, I'm assuming.
We did, because my dad's partner at that time was doing work in Los Angeles and didn't want to move us right into the Los Angeles, so we did private school. So Riverside was close at that time, but not in the middle of.
How far apart are Riverside in LA?
50, I would say
55 miles.
Yeah, it didn't take a long time then. Now it's different.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Traffic.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Now that would be
you wouldn't recognize it.
All day commute.
It's so
I went to high school at a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't allowed when I first came. I would share the story. When I first came to the States and went to school, my parents sent me in my old school uniform, which was a like a monastery Catholic school in England, where when you stood up, when the nun came in, and you sat down, you didn't speak. So they sent me my uniform, which consisted of a beret, a tie, a jacket, to a Catholic school here where they wore tennis shoes and skirts. So I was kind of the laughing stock of the whole class. And when the teacher came in, I stood up. So I ended up crying because everybody laughed at me. So they sent me to the – I remember that my mom had to come get me.
Yeah.
And so they were actually thinking about sending me back to England because at that time I was in eighth grade. I was 14. But I was very socially mature because it was just such a difference with school in England and California.
I could just even say culturally speaking.
And culturally.
I'm sorry. Like when I read an English book compared to like an American, I'm like, wow, they really got this figured out.
It's very different. So,
Because girls in general or boys I met that age are still licking the wall.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. So that was very hard. And I was also very much into my music. I was a flute player and my grandfather was a musician, kind of a famous musician in England. And so that culture was not there in eighth grade. So they thought, well, maybe we should put her in high school. That way it would be, but that actually wasn't that much better for me. But, but anyway, so I never really, my parents got involved with the school, but I was never like really one to go out, or I was very, very super close to my mom. I was a home bug.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the parties like my sisters did, and they were cheerleaders. And
so
that was unheard of because my dad would never let me out of the house. You know, it wasn't something that we did.
Well, you're the oldest.
Well, you were the oldest.
True. And so he didn't believe in parties and proms. He's like, what's that? You're not going to a proper.
And then the other ones were more like, no, this is happening.
Yes. And so it just kind of, I paved the way a little
you
bit.
You did.
But yeah.
They did yeah. want me, well, my grandmother was alive at the time and they thought about actually sending me back to England because I had already taken one of the first exams for the Royal School of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then I just didn't want to leave my mom.
I'm glad you did.
Oh, she's so blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, yeah. So then I decided to, take music in college at that time because they didn't have it at the high school that I went to. It was a small private school.
So in high school, you were taking college.
And you were actually accelerated courses. You skipped a year to get into high school. So and then in high school, you were still even doing your music at college.
Yes. And they had a nun camp came in because I was speaking French because in class in England, I used to go over to France and just.
Yeah. It's right there.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
And so they didn't have a French 4 or something at the high school. So they had a lady that was a nun that came. And so we.
Oh, that's so cute. How sweet.
So I was very much the,
exception?
Yeah. I wasn't very social with peers. There was one girl that I had, she was a really good friend of mine, whose dad was South African.
Oh.
And she had traveled a lot, kind of like me, very reserved. Her mom was a very religious lady. And so her and I connected a lot, but I think it was more because we were had been more cultured maybe just with different places. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we connected in high school, but that was really one of the only really good friends that I had.
Yeah.
Through high school.
So then how old were you when you met him?
Yeah. How did somebody so polar opposite? Yes. Like how so, did
well,
your,
interesting. I can
how
tell
did
you
he
moment.
Rock your world?
I can tell you the moment. So the day that I met her, I was with some friends. We were talking about going to an Oingo Boingo concert.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to my friend Pep's house real fast. I had went back to Pep's and I was sitting on the couch like this. And she came in with a guy named Paul. She was in the band playing flute and RCC Community College. And I remember she walked in and I looked at her and I knew. I was like, whoa.
That's so cool.
She's amazing. And I said, I'm going to marry her. And she smiled. And my first impression was
you hadn't even said one word.
I knew I was going to marry her. I knew the second I made eye contact, she smiled. I remember her little cap in her tooth, every little detail of her. And I remember her walking by, and I couldn't breathe. And then she walked down the hallway, and I kept saying a hallway. And I said, "Please turn around, please turn around." And she did. And I said, "Nailed it." So
that is the coolest.
And I remember the day so clear. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, we were never separated.
So, okay, but that, this, the timeline.
Yeah.
Like, so this for was, how you guys, like, met and dated and married, like, give us that. Well,
okay.
Say some more. I want to know what you thought. What was your impression?
We used to call him Pep because he was Hispanic, very cute Hispanic family, and they had a dog named Pepito or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And so I used to call him Pepe, and he was a good friend. So now I knew him because he knew a friend of mine that I played in an orchestra with.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he was from an area that I was not allowed to drive.
My area.
So my parents would never let me drive down that area because there was a street and literally the one street on one side was okay. And the other street wasn't because there was a lot of gangs in that area. And so I was never allowed to drive down there. And it was like the worst part in Riverside. Well, I used to go because my friend Pep lived there and we just loved each other, and he was just a great person. We still communicate with him. He lives in Mexico City now. Anyway, and so I was at his house with a friend of mine, Paul, who...
So you're all musicians, too.
Like, we were musicians, yes. Mm-hmm. So I was... And I remember being there, and I don't exactly remember what I was doing. I was staying or leaving, but I do remember when Gary walked in, and I thought, gosh, it was funny because after he left, because you left, I stayed. I don't remember what we were doing, but and I said, he said to Jose, looked at me and he said, "No, no way."
I love that he did that.
I was like, "I'm like Pep, please." please. I go, we have to go somewhere where Gary's going to be. And he goes, no.
So, okay, no. Did you know immediately too?
So
you felt it.
Well, he had these white Levi's.
Oh, and those were the best.
Hang 10 shirt. Mm-hmm. And he had kind of blonde, like, surfer haircut.
Oh, my gosh, his theater haircut.
And I remember his blue eyes. And I was
oh, with that blue shirt. Oh, my gosh.
I was a wild child. I surfed, I raced motocross. I did all the stupid things in life.
Yeah, so I do remember that. But it wasn't until... Oh, well, I think you had kept asking Jose for my number. And I didn't know
He kept saying no.
And he kept saying,
she's too good of a girl for you.
He kept saying, she's a good girl. Yeah. She's a good girl. You're not going to meet her. Because Gary was kind of a wild child.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. A lot of friends and stars. And then we went to
I think it's a motocross bike guy thing. Like, they're just wild child.
He was. But then we finally went to he went with us, though, to Harry C's the first time.
Okay, so yeah, K-Rock we used to have Harry C's nights or K-Rock. It played all like Duran Duran music and all that. It was like the really big radio station down there.
Okay. 20 at the time.
20?
Yeah. 20. So it was an under 18.
Where you could go dance. They used to have a lot of those. I remember that. They used to have so many of those. I went to those all the time.
So I was with Pep, and I actually was with Paul.
Now, which side of the tracks are we on now?
Good side.
Okay.
Yeah. We're on the right side. Yeah.
They don't have those.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he came in that night. And
was he like, is Tara going to be there?
No, I remember there was a girl following him. And she pulled the back of your shirt, I remember, and you turned around or whatever. But then you saw that I was with Pep and you came over onto the table.
Yeah. I don't remember that. I remember you. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, because that girl.
As soon as I saw her, I was like, there she is.
And that's how they ended
talking. And then you got my number.
That's hilarious that Pep was trying to
he wouldn't give us another.
No, I'm not going to give you. And then he probably didn't tell you that the other one was asking for it either.
No, he didn't.
And Jose, naughty.
So finally, he got my number and then called me like that next
20 times a day.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not a cell phone. Yeah. My mom would answer it and she was like, it was scary. And I'm like, oh, mom, just boy.
Nice to see a friend of Pat's.
We were talking. Yeah. We were talking. And then we went on our first date.
And that was at Heresy's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember it was fun because we went out and she had a drink. And we were drinking, talking, and she starts giggling.
You know, like,
that was so crazy. One drink, and she's like, oh. I'm like, oh boy. This is good.
Yeah. And you know what he said to me?
What did I say?
Do you remember?
Probably wasn't something.
Wasn't good.
Wasn't good.
He says, I could take you to my car.
Oh, God, Tara, we don't want to talk about
this. Oh,
I didn't know. And I said,
you know,
one thing that she said to me, she goes,
what did
no.
you
say? And I'm like, something in the back of my mind says, she is too good for you. This is awesome.
Oh, and then after that, would just call every day. And it was about a week and a half.
2 weeks.
Almost
to the date, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I said, I love you and I want to marry you.
He did.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
And I remember.
I said, okay.
Yeah.
But
did you mean like, okay, are you being serious?
No,
okay,
I said, yeah.
We can go towards that direction.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly sure that he was actually going to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But then the next day, you said, I'm going to pick you up from work. I worked at JCPenney's in the mix-it section, which was like the junior section.
Yeah.
Part-time. And...
Go ahead.
He had already called my parents.
He called
his mom.
Okay, but this is a story. Tell him what happened when he came to...
So I called her mom and dad, and I talked to her mom.
He didn't know where I lived.
No, I had no idea. And I said, I love your dad. And your dad said, slow down, cowboy. This is true. We're going to have an 18-month engagement.
Well, first of all, he drove by my parents' house.
No. I came up to talk to your parents. I remember we were,
so
he said,
cute.
You're going to come
so
up
respectful.
And ask for her
I didn't know this, though.
And meet us. And I was like, okay. So again, now I come from the wrong side of the tracks.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So he gave the address. Back then, we didn't have You had to look at the streets. And I kind of knew it. She says, you go up Adams past Victoria. And I'm like, wow, that's really nice houses up there. Okay. So, all right. I start driving up there. And at that time, did I have the 69 Camaro?
I think so.
So I had a 69 Camaro, all restored.
Yeah.
And I think I was driving. That's what I drove for the first time.
It wasn't painted, though. I think it was primer.
Or was that the – was the? I had an old truck. Well, one of the vehicles – I
remember – a primed Camaro.
Yeah, and I remember driving up, and you keep driving, the house is getting bigger, nicer, bigger, nicer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness, these are like mansions. And finally, I went to this right up this hill, and there's these big, huge houses. And I'm looking at the address, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's it. I drove by. There was like 420 SEL Mercedes. There was all this stuff. Uh-huh. And I'm like, she lives there?
And like, I was crap.
Like, so he's like, score.
He's nervous.
Yeah. So I pulled up on the driveway. You got to remember, this is 30-something years ago. I remember your dad came out or something. I came to the door. I rang the doorbell.
I wasn't there.
Opened up the door, and her dad said, pull my finger. And I was like,
what?
Pull your finger?
Which is
yeah, and I pulled his finger, and he did the deed.
Oh my god, that's genius.
I was thinking there was going to be a shotgun.
Her dad was very intimidating. He was in this big house, very properly dressed.
And you had the respect to call and be like up front. I love your daughter. Like boys didn't do that 30 years ago.
I wanted to ask her hand. I wanted to do it the right way.
Yeah. So what encouraged you to do that?
I may have been a shithead grown. I mean, in that point in my life, doing things I shouldn't have, but inside, I had a moral compass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my dad was a great man. Yeah. He always said, take care of your family, do the right thing. Family first.
And when you decided she was going to be the family you wanted, the moral compass came out. And when she told you, no, I'm not going to be
the backseat
girl. You were like, oh, that's right. She is my family.
She is. And I remember asking, and he said, okay, but you're going to have an 18-month gap. I want to make sure this is going to work. If I'm going to spend all this money.
Yeah.
And we had a great wedding. He paid for an amazing wedding. And at this time, I remember I looked over and there's this big baby grand piano. And I kept looking at all these things that I've never seen. I was never around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we had a nice house. My mom kept a clean house. We had one of the nicest houses in the neighborhood, and it was a tough neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But it was always clean. Always had nice things. But nothing like in this scale. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was abundance of just things. And I just remember thinking, I've got a business in Maui and we're going to go to Maui. And I'm like, man, is that like in Hawaii? Like the islands?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I mean, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was culture shocked.
Well, then you really came to pick me up. And I had no idea.
Yes.
From JCPenney.
After you talked to Dad.
Yes.
And he was all decked out looking all ooh-la-la.
Yes. So he came in.
I was on top of the world because he said yes.
Wow.
He said we had to wait for 18 months. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about that? What was your impression? Like 18 months? No. I would have been like, that's actually cool.
She's going to wise up and bail on me.
Oh, that's what I thought.
But I was like, that's forever. But it really, it was time to get the wedding right and to get things in order. And
to make sure you guys had your.
And we didn't actually think about that. Like, I think we thought it didn't matter. We wanted to do it. Like, it wasn't that we had to get to know each other. We felt like we knew each other.
I feel like I'd known her for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was really interesting.
I feel like I had married her in another life. Like, I knew everything about her already, what she liked. I know she loves chocolate. Mm-hmm. I know she loves things like, just things she loves. I knew that she always said, I want to have family, kids, and she loved girls. So
I did.
Thank you. I gave her three beautiful
kids. You gave her all
did my
exes.
Part.
He came into my work, and I was with the girls, and we were working, and he came in, and he knelt down, and he bought the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even look at a ring. He had already bought it.
Because he got the dad's thumbs up.
Yeah. And then he says, we're going back to your parents. They're waiting for us. And I said, you talk to my parents? And he goes, yeah, they're waiting for us. I was like, so I drove straight from my work to my parents, and they had champagne, like glasses
of
champagne.
Oh, that is so
and
sweet.
My sister,
oh my gosh, that's so cool.
She was
cool.
At OT school at that
that's
time.
Amazing.
She walks in, yeah, and she goes, who is Gary? And what's going on? Because she had been with her husband currently at least a year by then.
Wow. But they were dating.
And they were dating.
Yes. Yes.
And she was like, who is, well, didn't she say, who are you?
Who are you? And I said, oh, hi.
I'm your new brother.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
So how did your parents, like, I bet your parents sound like they were super supportive through your whole entire, like, relationship. So you guys had some parameters put in place that, and you had good examples.
Yes,
so.
Yes, both.
Yeah.
Now, when we talked to Gary's parents, I guess you had talked to your dad knew that you were serious.
Yeah.
His mom was fine. But I remember his friend, Kevin.
And had you met Gary's parents at all?
I had.
When he.
Maybe once or twice.
Once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before you.
Dad,
before he.
Within the week. Yeah.
My dad loved her.
Yes. Okay. He actually wrote a poem for me.
Oh.
My dad wrote poetry.
That's so sweet.
The big tough.
But it
would
only.
I love that.
He would only write it when he was out on the road and things came to him.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he wrote this poem called The Girl I Never Had or something.
Yes.
And
aww,
it was very, very touching. But we did have a connection, too, with with your dad.
Oh, that's
which
so
was
sweet.
Very nice. Yeah.
He said, thank you for giving me the daughter I never had.
Yes, that's right. It was something like that. And very, very loving.
So sweet.
And actually, we lost Wayne. He was only 59. We lost him.
That just
was
two,
one of the
two
hardest
years
things
older
in our lives.
That's
but,
two.
I was the one that he came to and said, I need you to do this, this, and this, and this for me. So, yeah, that was really hard.
You guys were close.
But, yeah. I think the hardest thing for me, I was super nervous about when my parents and his parents met. That was probably the biggest thing. We were so worried about that.
Well, because your parents were both such important parts of your life.
Yes,
and
they were so different.
Them to like each other and to be.
Yes, yes. Because they're going to share grandchildren.
Right.
They're going to be.
And my dad, you know, was just very.
He was very stiff-colored.
He was. And I don't want to say that
he didn't hold his finger up for your dad.
Yeah, exactly. He had opinions about just the way things were, life. And they're all very valid.
Yeah.
But Gary's dad was the most humblest, kindest, rough person you could ever meet. So Gary and his dad could be in a room with the poorest of poor person and with somebody that owns the business and that never changed, couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Yes.
My parents' circle was, you know, all very privileged. So we never really had that. I don't want it to sound like my parents are not.
No,
my parents are great.
No, there's a difference. There's
It was just very different. And
my ex-husband was raised that way too. And there's just
it was
a difference.
Different. And
it's not a bad thing to be have things.
No,
yeah,
I always
absolutely.
Tell everybody, you know, just because somebody's rich doesn't mean they're a bad person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 No,
so when they met for the first time? They decided to go to dinner.
It's either going to be bad.
I know. I just remember my heart. Like, I was very, very nervous because we went to almost like a little, like his dad and mom would go on a Friday night to Carl's Jr. That was their outing.
On Bob's Big Boy.
That was just an outing.
Totally
my
Bob's
parents had some, you know, very fancy Italian restaurant in mind. And it was just, that wasn't, you know, I didn't want to put his parents in that situation. So we met actually at, it was almost like a diner.
It was sort of like a diner. I'm trying to remember what it was, but I can't remember.
Oh,
like an Irish pub or something like that?
It was like a little diner.
It wasn't Denny's. It was like a,
Perkins or something
like that. It would be like that here as equivalent to a Perkins.
And my parents probably wouldn't have gone into that place had it not been.
Yeah.
So, but actually went really
It went really well. Because,
well,
you know, my dad, really quick on my dad was a black belt. He did karate. And I'll tell you how my dad, just a really quick off topic here. We used to go to Monterey from Riverside to Monterey to see my every Thanksgiving. We stopped at a Bob's Big Boy one time in Bakersfield. And my mom was quite a looker. And you know about the story about the guys at the bar that came over and my dad beat him up. And my dad, when my brother and I were very young, I remember my Dad's first name was Bonnie Wayne Goodwin. He went by Wayne. He didn't want to go by Bonnie. So I remember I said, and my mom said to him, Bonnie Wayne, it's not worth it. Didn't know. He went to the bath and these two thugs got up, came out and said to my mom, you're pretty. And my brother said, you better shut up. And my dad came out. I can remember him. He never, ever got angry. He always said it took a bigger man to turn a cheek. We came over to some kind of cry spin kick. Oh. And before we could know it, both guys were laid out. I remember him telling my brother and I, we got to go. And we drove the rest of the way to Monterey. I didn't say a word because I was that guy in the back seat that said, Dad, what happens if that tree fell down? Dad, what if that bridge went out?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. That's the kind of dad when he was going to meet Peter, I was a little concerned that he might say something to my dad. Mm-hmm. And my dad would have never, because he loved her. I mean, my dad adored her.
Yeah.
And my dad would have just sucked it up. I've never seen my dad suck it up.
Yeah. I think they were both. I mean, your dad was your dad no matter what.
Yeah.
But they got, I mean, it was
they
good.
Actually got,
I
they
just
were,
remember yeah. it feeling being really tense.
Me and Tara sitting there going,
because at this point, you guys really had known each other for like two and a half weeks.
It wasn't even months.
Yeah.
It happened. Yeah.
But I remember your friend Kevin coming
and
said, Gary's not going to marry you.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
I just can't believe, you know.
What? Do you still know Kevin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you rub it in his face?
I think he
Well, since then, he's got a divorce.
Yeah.
I don't wish that on anybody. I mean, no. But, you know, here we are.
But it's like, here we are.
Yeah.
30-something
cool
years later.
You know, your parents were both of your guys' parents were so supportive after a short period. Instead of just saying, and I have so much respect for them also going, you know, like, and it sounds like your parents were supportive of the 18-month engagement, too.
Oh, yes.
Like, definitely. I think they're both like, okay, we'll support this. We do have parameters, and the parameters are 18 months, and we're going to hold you to some standards.
Yeah.
And so, I bet you your parents probably were, like, checking in with each other about the, hey, how's this going? And, you know, I could see them just being, like, looking out for you guys as a couple.
You say standards. Mm-hmm. When we finished getting married, we were in the room. We were already a couple. We were married. You know, she was now a good one.
Yeah.
My dad walked in and told you what. He said, if he ever hits you, you let me know and I'll take him out.
Oh, yeah.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
He was like, more dads were like that.
Yeah. And I was
like, if he ever hurt you or hit you, you tell me.
Yeah. If nothing, I won't, Dad. I'll bury in the backyard. That was his attitude. He would have.
But my dad did cry during the speech. At our wedding, my dad was in tears and he said, I know Gary is a hard worker and he will take care of her. And that was a lot coming from my dad. My dad does not give a lot of compliments.
He does not give compliments.
So I was like, okay.
He's softened up over years now.
He has.
And I know at the beginning, you know, I'm not completely blind to it. And, you know, he's come around and we're close. Mm-hmm. Actually, her dad and I are close now.
Yeah.
I can tell that he wanted her to meet a doctor or somebody from money. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't. But we've done pretty well in life.
Yeah.
I mean, we really have. I mean, it's been some tough.
And we always say it wasn't even about that. We were so rich in love, it didn't matter.
Aww. And that's the truth. Yeah. I hate to say it. It's
you
so
know, when
true.
You say that you matters. Only knew each other 2 weeks, I keep forgetting that as you're talking about.
I still can't wait to see her.
And, you know,
when I leave for work,
I love it. Yeah.
I come home knowing that I'm going to see her when she opens the door.
Yeah. So, and how long have you been married? Like 30 years
this
or more?
Put me on the 33. Spot.
33 years.
You've known
35.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Wow. And then three daughters.
Three daughters.
And you guys empty nested 2 years ago.
How
right?
is that going?
Well,
technically, we still have
our
20-year-old.
Because Faith is
Faith's
but
still
when
around.
She's done with college, she's already said, Dad, I'm going to New York. I'm going to live
with
Yeah, all of the girls have been, you know, well, Libby is an opera singer, so she, you know, has to be by city and travel. And then Hannah just graduated with her degree in jazz.
Amazing piano and singer.
So
she's doing an album.
She's doing an album.
Wow.
So she's been in Texas.
Music
so
is
they
in
both
your
are
blood.
Very,
it is.
Yeah.
I love it.
At least her side. I
first
just play the instrument.
The first
time
she
was in, you said music,
hey, that's
so
important
she in Austin,
she's in Texas. She was in, actually, Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah.
But the first time you went to an orchestra, you saw me play.
I remember she said, you need to have a black tie. And I said, black tie? I'm not wearing a black tie. I'd wear, you know, a Yeah. Mine was an OP or hang 10 shirt or a nice polo shirt.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Polo. La Tigra.
Polo.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember?
Yeah. That's the I saw emblem, the little crocodile, and the khakis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The belt matches the shoes. Yeah. That's as fancy as I get.
That's it. Yeah. So I had to go get a tux. And I remember I was into like Van Halen.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my Red Hot Chili Peppers. That was me.
Yeah.
She was Wham. So,
Wham is good.
Yeah.
Wake me up.
I remember, but I was a lot of classical music, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was first flute, meaning she was really good.
Oh, yeah.
So they took me to the very front and sat me down.
You were a first chair in a city orchestra.
Yeah. Yes. She's a professional. Is it flautist?
Yes. Yeah.
And yes. I remember all these people going, "How are you? Very nice to meet you." Shaking my hand. I'm like, "Very nice to meet you." And I blended. I was in. So I sat down and I remember her coming out and she had this beautiful tight black dress on.
You're like, that's not like, loudest.
This is great. And she sat down and started playing. And they started playing and I was like, this is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard, you know, when you hear something live, like when you go, it's
magical.
And then she started, I'm like, I knew she could play, but I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I just remember that made me, I mean, I already loved her, but that was just like, wow, she's so intelligent and plays. And I was
she's multi-dimensional.
You
for
saw
sure.
her in her element and just loved her even more.
Because, you know, like you said, I grew up on the wrong side. First time she said she didn't go to parties. We based our life on how many kegs party was this going to be. Was this going to be a 2-keg or 3-keg? And we went to our first party together. I was Pep, all my friends, Pep's there.
Like, you're bringing Tara to a party?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't think she's ever done a keg stand.
No. She never did. Her dad would have died. So we're at
Does
this party.
Does he know
party.
About this?
No. No, he did.
Oh, so he's going to know now.
He's going to know
that?
Now.
Yeah.
So the cops came to bust it up.
Oh, no. How old
are you? And we're underage.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking.
I said, come on, Tara. We got to jump this fence. We got to bail. She's like, what?
I totally know that.
We have to run?
You're like,
run?
You're like, because you're from England. She went over there. You're like, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
I had a beer.
I know.
Yeah.
We drank like
10.
Yeah. They were having shandies when they were 15.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was purposely.
Yeah, this is all about the, you got to run. So and then the stupid girl who does, and then everyone has to go back and like, yes, we'll take care of her.
Exactly.
And then you took me to that off-road thing in LA, too.
Oh, this was even funnier. We went to a Mickey Thompson off-road race, and it was at the LA Coliseum. And, again, she comes from, you know, money. So we park, and our headlights are flat. We were on a raised parking, and it overlooked really boarded up houses.
Mm-hmm.
And our headlights were shining, and these people were going in and out of this house. And she goes, those people are breaking into that house. And I was like, Tara, I love you. I said, do you know what they're doing going into that house and out? No. They're buying drugs. She's all, no, the cops are right here. Like, you know what?
But they paid the cops off.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're like, so you don't get it. Like, they're doing it that way because that's safer and it's removed from the main scene. So the cops are like, okay, we will handle that.
Yeah.
Like, is it a clean source? Yeah.
Yeah. And she just could not get over, like, why are these people going to this boarded-up house buying drugs?
She's just terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. Wow.
So it sounds like you guys have taught each other a thing or two.
Well, she's taught me a few things. Yeah. I don't know how much I've taught her.
I'm interested. Like, when was it exciting for you also to go to these different types of parties and in these different situations?
I had a different way of thinking than being brought up. And I was really open to that. I don't know. I never really thought of myself as like being a brat or, you know, having everything. I mean, I guess I did, but
you had a cabaret convertible.
I did, but I didn't.
I was like, who has sportsman SELs and a cabaret convertible?
I guess I just feel like I didn't put that out there in the world. Like,
that didn't define you.
No.
Yes. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm all this.
And she was the least snobbiest. She was very benign to that. She mm-hmm. didn't take, she didn't care about it.
It wasn't yeah, your, it, yeah. wasn't, it, been a, it wasn't your identity.
I mean, I'm yeah. very super, I'm super grateful for everything that I've had. But right. that wasn't necessarily like, what I had to have. That wasn't
no, you would have been fine with whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't what I was seeking for. And it sounds like when you talk, what you're most grateful for and the way that you talk is the love, the support, the kindness, oh, the protection, the relationship.
Oh my gosh. In your life. One of the things that I loved about Gary the most was that, first of all, he was really funny. He was always joking. He was always making me laugh. And that wasn't something that I grew up with. My dad was very, was way more stern. Like it wasn't.
Yeah. He expressed love differently.
Yes. Yeah. And I really enjoyed that. And that he was able to be, he was so kind to people, just young people, old people, you know, would always open the door, would always, oh, that lady needs to help her. And that just wasn't something that you would see a lot of younger men
you
doing.
Could tell he was just made of good
stuff. Well, and so the like, awareness of even going and talking to the parents. Like,
yeah, like that was just super important to me, I guess. I would have.
But you know what, though? I think that that is something that it's good for people to realize. Like, it's the little things that matter and that, like, show you who a person truly is.
Something I feel really bad about, and this hit me when Libby was young. So he would always want to take Libby, his dad, in the truck with him. And so I would have the, you know, her dressed up in her pink bows and her dresses and because that's just me. Yeah. And I just adorned her with like ruffles and everything. And for her to put a pair of dungarees on and get her hands really
overalls.
Dirty, like dungarees, overalls, it to me was, oh gosh, I felt weird about it. Well, one time I had gone, his mom had watched Libby for a little bit. And his dad, actually his mom was gone and Wayne was watching her and I got home and she was filthy, literally filthy.
Did she have the best time of her life?
And she will still remember that. I think she was like 3 years old. She loved being Papa's truck. She loved being around all the grease. And I remember his tools, like everywhere you touched, like in the garage or you go into the kitchen, there was just like dirt. And I remember feeling like,
no, fine.
I had to go home. No,
our house was clean.
Absolutely. Which is remarkable. Like when you're working on cars.
It was just like everywhere, though. Yeah. Like it wasn't, I'm not saying it was a dirty house, but it was just things that like the rag and like she would touch this. And I remember her hands being dirty. And I remember thinking to myself, and his dad also smoked. Mm-hmm. And I also remember thinking, oh my gosh, I have to go home and wash everything. And I have to wash the bag and I have to wash. And I do regret that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, like looking back on that, she absolutely loved him and she would roll around in the dirt with him and would never get that on my, you know, with my family. So I remember thinking, oh my gosh, that was awful of me to think that back then, you know, like the smell in her hair.
But
and
I would say to him, like, I have to take that bag over there
and now I've got to get a new bag, you know, that type of thing. So,
Yeah, I mean, that definitely is because you're a mom and you like, and there's all those things that you have to do. I remember when I had just my second son and my mom took my oldest out to play and I was inside with my baby and she comes in and he was like, same thing, just dirt all over. I was like, oh my gosh, mom.
That's the joy of being a grandparent though.
I know. Yes.
Well, and to me, it was all the extra work.
At the time,
And my mom said, you know what? Like it cleans up. Right. It wash. It like he is can wash. Don't and he had a good time. That's what happened.
He's going to remember. That with fingerprints because my dad would get super annoyed with fingerprints on the windows. And my mom would say, we've lost a fingerprint. It doesn't matter what I wouldn't do for that little hand.
Well, these things we learn later.
We do.
You know, we just,
do.
It's constantly.
We didn't know that we were going to lose Wayne.
It's,
didn't know that, right? So,
Well, that's kind of funny. Like my husband now and stuff too, because he's like, one of the things he liked about me is like, he's like, oh, like we went hiking and like my sweater got caught on a branch and it pulled a thread. And I was like, meh, okay.
Yeah.
And he was like, with my past girlfriends, that would have been the end of the world. Like the date would have been over.
The hike would have been over.
Would have been over. It would have been just like, the whole entire day is ruined because my sweater got a pulled thread. And so, but he loved that about me then, but now he's all like, Yeah, I'm the one who I'm like, yeah, the kid got really filthy. The car is trash, but we had so much fun up in the woods. You know, I'm the girl who's like, yeah, I took you at backpack camping. I'm like, because guess what? It all cleans up. So I was like, yeah, we're going to get dirty, but we'll clean it up. But but we're going to get dirty.
I mean, you remember how you feel. You don't remember the other things.
Yeah,
so much.
We're going to pull some threads. We're not living for clothes. We're living for experiences.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I mean, you guys, we've not learned so much about what you love each other, but expand on this. And you can tell me
what's
your favorite thing about each other.
Let you go first. Let you go first.
I definitely admire how your commitment to your family and the sacrifices that you have put forth, because he was gone. He would, for 11 years, he was in the oil field and he was gone.
That's a lot of travel.
Sometimes for a month.
At
and
five
would
states.
Be home for 2 weeks.
I remember
the crying every time he left and even him in tears when he would leave. But it was to support us. And the girls really, they know that now. They know that he sacrificed a lot, birthdays, Christmases, family time. And so I really admire all the sacrifice that he made. And one of the reasons, you know, I went to Texas with him because we were gone for 3 years was because he had put in so much of the sacrifice that I felt like it was my turn. And I think, you know, having not being all about each other, each individual person, but just coming to the middle a lot. You know, we've had to. I mean, I sacrificed not having a husband with me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And can I just say the perspective that you can tell you guys have a lot of strength and view each other as a team, because when you were like, you're not, he was gone, he abandoned me.
Yeah.
You were like, oh my gosh, my husband was so beautiful to go and leave and do that. Like that shows that you guys were like, that's awesome.
And I was also super blessed because I have my family here. So my mom to my children is like having a second mom.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's like having a second mom.
Because all of your family
so
moved
all
in
right
Raleigh.
Here.
Yeah, they did. They moved up
here. All here. So
when you guys moved here.
Yeah.
So
that's
we
so
all
followed us.
So when did you guys move to this area?
In 2004.
How old were your kids?
2004.
So your kids were?
Libby just turned
just
five.
Five-ish.
And Hannah was two.
Okay.
Yes. Faith was born here. And she reminds us, mess
here.
Up, get out of my state.
She's cute. Yeah, so we were. They were young, so they don't really remember not being here.
Yeah.
No, this is home.
It was actually the day after his dad's funeral weekend.
Literally the day after.
Mm.
They did the gun salute at the base. He's born at buried at March Air Force Base.
Yeah.
And
we got in the car?
We got in the car literally the next day. Because I remember my dad when he was sick.
He could not work with his dad not being there.
No. We sold the business.
He worked with him.
Yeah.
We had a great business. And we were just getting ready to expand it. And when that happened, I was like, you know, he told me, take my granddaughters out here. You don't want to raise them here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Wow. You honored his wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had come up here to see our friends, Greg and Sherry.
Sherry.
Yep. And I remember sitting on the lake. We were on the boat. He goes, what would you be doing right now? I said, be sitting in traffic coming from San Diego.
I worked with that. Like I sold so many houses from people sitting in traffic in San Diego.
And I was like,
that's
I love it here.
Not the way to spend your life.
And, you know, it's funny. We moved here. We were building our house. It was a beautiful house. And they didn't have the street signs up yet.
No.
And I remember we were there, and I came out to put street signs up, and it said
Barbie
Street. I lived on Barbie Street.
Okay.
And I was like, really? Really? I live on Barbie Street. And the girls are like, hey, Dad, it's Barbie Street. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. In their bows and ruffles. And
oh, she had a matching clothes.
Oh, yes.
You know, I once had a lady come up to us, actually it's about 5 years ago, before we left for Texas. And she says, I remember you. I remember you at the back of the church. And your three girls had all the matching dresses with the tights.
Oh,
and I'm like,
Oh my gosh, all the way down in Texas?
That's so cute.
Like, we're totally out of context.
So
that's amazing.
Lisa and I are a little bit jealous because we became friends when our daughters were in the same class, essentially, and we kept running into the same, each other all the time. So our little five-year-old girls would not let us put them in bows. They wouldn't even let us brush their hair.
Yes, I remember that.
So I'm so jealous.
But Livia did have her glitter boots. She would not not let me get rid of.
She totally nice. Had the glitter.
She had some yes. glitter stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I had to have that.
Well, I mean, I had glitter. I'd go to work.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And I'd go to the oil field with rough and tough guys. And they'd be looking at me going, do you have glitter on your face? And I'm like, what happened?
Did you ever get stuck where they painted your toenails and you forgot to take it off?
Many toenail parties and tea parties.
And I've been able to clean my nails now.
I was working on my job. Yeah.
So
I had a lot of tea parties.
Yes.
Bows in my hair.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I went all in.
You're so like, what's your favorite things about Tara?
There's four so many things. I think the one thing that she is the kindest, sweetest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Even the other day, just so you know, we went to Safeway.
Oh, yeah.
We were at Safeway. She was making a pie for our daughter for her birthday. We pulled up in Safeway and there's a homeless guy sitting there, probably our age, mm-hmm. on the bench and it was cold.
Yeah.
And she walked to him and goes, sir, are you okay? Would you like a cup of coffee? She went in and they didn't have coffee, but she brought him out a nice warm meal and gave it to him. He was a thank you, ma'am. She does things like that.
Yeah.
And
I see it.
She's very an advocate for patients. Mm-hmm. She hates where the medical field. I don't want to get into that, but where it's going, how we treat our elderly.
I think
we all can sit on that same stand together.
You know.
That's hard.
Yeah.
It is. And I remember during COVID, she would come home crying all the time.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't let family. Again, I don't want to, you know, it's just the reality that what she does and that's what I love about her. Again, her heart. She would hold people's hands so it wouldn't be alone and put her health last. Yeah, and I just remember she got sick. She got really sick in Texas. I mean, you don't know this, but we almost lost her.
Yeah.
She got that sick.
Yeah.
I remember walking in, she was in a hospital, and I saw her, and I thought, please, Lord, don't take her from me. Oh, I get kind of.
That's awful.
But she pulled through. And it was probably the scariest.
Diagnosed with broken heart syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah, there's such a thing.
Cool. Yeah.
And then she was sick on top of that with COVID.
Yeah.
And she was all this stuff. And I just remember.
Needed being away.
Yeah. I just remember thinking at that point.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of rot. I screwed up bringing her here. I said, I got to get her home.
Yeah.
And I even quit a great company to get home.
Yeah.
I had great company. I had all these opportunities. And it's not worth it. I don't care.
Well, you go back to your values. You guys have always valued the relationship and family.
Yeah.
And that's why you click so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, if I'm not picking up trash, I work for the trash. I don't care.
Yeah.
I come home to her. Yeah. That's all that matters. Yeah. So I love that when I was leaving, I never had to worry about my daughters. I never had to worry about. And when I came home, she literally made it like Club Med. It was Daddy's home. Let's go out to dinner. Let's do things. She always made me feel special.
Yeah.
And always took care of me. She still does now.
Well, you take care of me too.
Yeah. I mean,
she makes my tea.
Like anything that is what, at the end of the day, those are the most important things are our relationships with the people we love. Yeah. It's not about work. It's like, I mean, of course, those things help us.
Exactly.
Well, talk about cars you have. Okay. I love her. We were, she was driving an old Mercury Montego all-wheel drive car.
Years old. Mm-hmm.
Beat up, transmission would go, driving down the road. She'd show up at work and I'm like, we can hear you a block away. And I remember finally thinking, that's it. So I went and bought her this new Ford Explorer. And my cousin works for Ford. So the company I worked for previously was able to help me. They gave us like all these benefits to buy American cars. So I put a big chunk down. My cousin worked. And I surprised her with this beautiful red, the most Maximus thing you could ever have. It's got everything. Heated seats. And she deserves it. And it doesn't And I was like, I still have my old Suburban. And I did buy a nice little GMC pickup for myself. But I don't need new. But I want her to have new. I want her to have that heated steering wheel so her hands are warm. And she could start it from her phone. And she deserves all this. You know, so it's the little things like that. But she did never complain.
Yeah.
She didn't care that she's driving this old beat up car that made all these noises.
I'd rather be home with the girls.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I just absolutely love about Tara. She just loves.
Yeah.
You're just made of love.
She really is. I mean, she gravitates. people gravitate towards when they meet her. Like, we just went to breakfast, and this older lady from New York, everyone wants to be her friend. Yeah. We're talking, and all of a sudden, like, oh, wow, they love, they're like, they want to just stay with her and be her friend, you know? Like, well, yeah, of course. But no, I feel like, again, back to the way that she just, she would give her last dollar to somebody she doesn't even know. She would.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's an angel.
That's true. I love it. Oh, I'm so glad that you are still here.
Holy smokes.
Sorry you guys went through that scare.
And we were away from family. She had nobody. Our daughter, Faith, was there. Faith was crying.
Yeah. Poor Faith.
We'd walk up being tough, and then she'd break down the car. And I thought, man, this is the worst. Yeah. It was terrible. I said, we got to get you home. And she did. She's tough. This girl's tough, though.
Yeah.
She pulled it together, and she got tough, and she's, you know, she's done it. And
well, I remember, like, because someone's like, oh, yeah, Tara, she's in Texas now. I'm like, what? Did her family move too? No. I wondered.
No. Just me.
Yeah.
It was very awful.
Just me.
Yeah.
And then Faith.
I cried every day.
She went to this little Sanger high school. She's like, Dad.
Years.
They all say y'all.
Yeah.
They all do brisket. Yes, she's like, Dad.
She said, get me back to the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. I want coffee.
I want to wear sweaters.
Oh, my God. In Texas. Oh.
We're so glad she wanted to come home. She said, I want to be with the
mama.
She passed up a full ride at UNT. She offered her a
kinesiology.
Full ride.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she's like, nope, going in. I said,
going home.
Yeah. Hey, it's a great place.
It is. Yeah.
Have fun.
She's happy.
I love it.
And she's hooked up with all her old friends that she went to school with. And,
that's wonderful.
She's got her little car. She's got her little coffee. And she does her little life.
It's like sweet tea.
It is sweet. I'm like, I hate it when you accidentally order tea and you forget. Oh, they're going to bring it to me all sugary.
Or you say, can I have tri-tip? They're like, you're not from Texas. This is a brisket country.
We just didn't really connect. I just didn't really connect with the whole culture in Texas.
Were you in Dallas then?
We were in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Yeah. And
it rains.
Oh, it's terrible.
Storms are insane.
We were in a tornado.
Do you know?
Yes.
There was hail the size of your fist.
I know, and my husband did that, like somebody's throwing bricks.
Regardless of hail damage, you know, okay, we paid $1,000 a month for insurance on old cars.
They redo the things, and your cars get. They would have hail sales because they would get hit. The car lots.
You see cars all the time that look like they got pellet holes everywhere driving down the road. Brand new ones, like.
And you could go and buy those. That's the best place to buy a car, though, especially if you had a body shop and stuff, because after the hailstorms, the car dealerships...
The body shops are backed up.
The car dealerships get insurance policies, so they get half the money for the car from the insurance policy. Then they sell the car to you for, like... So they take half. Half the thing, and they give you half the credit. So you can go and buy a hail-damaged car. And so it's a thing.
Don't get me wrong. The actual true Texans, salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they are the most patriot, loving people on the planet.
I cannot. My husband's a
Texan
farm boy.
They always love Texas. Texans love Texas.
They do. I might end up in Texas.
It's our own country. You know we can succeed.
I think to the Alamo.
And then there's me. I'm like,
where are you from?
Although I have to say, my Texas boy is like, no, I really love it up here. It's so beautiful.
Oh, it is.
I love Four Seasons.
Now that I'm older, I'm kind of loving it. I mean, I grew up in California surfing hot heat.
Yeah.
The first couple winters here, I'm not going to lie, it was tough.
I had no identity for clothes because I would always wear a scarf here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In Texas, I was like, what do I wear?
What do I do with my identity?
Like, where's my, like...
That's true. So funny.
Yeah. Oh. So you guys have been through a lot as a couple. Mm-hmm. Obviously, being away from each other in sickness. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, from all that, what advice do you have for other people, you know, and enduring a long relationship?
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, life's going to happen.
It is.
I guess you just have to be there.
You're much wiser than I. I'll let you go on this one.
I mean, you have to, you just have to be there. You have to, it's about coming in the middle. You know, I know when Gary's dad passed away, he grieved for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then there was a time when I was beginning to think it was a little much because it was, you know, and he wouldn't necessarily grieve in just getting it all out and talking. He would go in the garage and he would just cry. Mm-hmm. And then finally one day I went out there and I said,
she did.
I said, what would your dad say about what you're doing right now? He said, we've got to keep going.
Basically suck it up. Move on, buddy.
No,
what I needed.
But he's done the same to me in some respects. There's been time that I, you know, would get so down about myself and things, and he's just like, "Well, we gotta do it. You just gotta do it."
Sometimes you have to get yourself immersed back into patterns and
be afraid of coming together to help each other. It's not about me and it's not about him. It's about us. Yeah. So we have to, you know, I think that's like for young people now, I see them. I mean, and our children included is just the younger generation. They very much want what they want now. And it's very easy to get. Like they just want it. And it's now. They see it and they want that life. They have.
In a way, a culture. They see it in an
Instagram life.
They can't
want
it.
We don't have to wait. We're not going to have enough money. So
they never had to wait on the radio station for their song to come on to hit record.
And you missed the first 8
The damn CD scratched.
It's instant. It's instant. And I think in some ways it's really dangerous when you talk about relationships because they're very much want what they want and they're not necessarily willing to.
They're not considering us
to in the package. And those things make you what you are. And then you'll look back and you'll say, that was what was so special about what we came together with. We didn't know that how much it was going to cost for kids to have college or we didn't prepare for that necessarily. It's those moments that the kids were on the floor when I was making dinner and he was coming home. Like we didn't really do anything. We had popcorn movie night at home. Mm-hmm. And that was, those huge. Are those special times. Yeah. And so it wasn't that we went to an elaborate hotel and had, you know, all these elaborate things you see on
a
Instagram.
A pony ride at the birthday party.
It wasn't about that so much. And I think, you know, my kids have even said, well, we would never be able to afford children. Well,
we couldn't afford
children. You
know,
you never will.
That's every generation.
You are never, ever going to have that perfect moment.
Yeah.
And if you think that you are, you're going to bypass all
the
other wonderful
happening.
Stuff that made that so perfect.
Yeah.
So I think we just have, you go through the bad, but it makes it good.
You choose an us and you live.
I guess. You make it work no matter what you have. And I think generations past, even my parents, they would say, I mean, my dad once had to cut down a door for wood for my mom and my sister. I mean, he was an entrepreneur. He didn't start having a lot of money.
No.
So, you know, those types of things. And then you think about how that made them stronger. I think.
They're coming up on their 60th.
They're going to have their 60th.
Wow. Oh, that's
so we're
so
having
cool.
a huge party. All my family, including
can we interview them and then they can have the recording for the party?
I bet you they would love that.
I know Don would and they're be like, oh, bloody hell.
And their story is amazing.
That's so
I can't
cool.
say enough about my parents and our family.
Yeah, you want to talk? Yeah.
I mean, their life is just wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, they've raised a pretty amazing daughter.
My siblings, too. They're great. I can't say enough about them. They're just wonderful. It's going to be a huge.
Yeah, I think you go through life. My dad had a great quote. Don't dwell on the bad because the good will pass you by.
Oh, that's a great quote.
Yes,
absolutely.
Your dad was so good
at that. He was amazing.
Well,
I mean, I miss
him. He would come out with all
because
that
he
stuff.
Was just so. I mean, my dad stopped school at sixth grade.
Yeah.
Remember, she came in the business and she would have to spell things
for him. He was illiterate. I didn't even know.
Yeah. But he was so wise.
An illiterate poet?
Yeah.
And he started this business, Goodwin Brothers, and I would think to myself, when the first computer came out, he's like, darn, you gotta help me. But I mean, he didn't even learn to read and write.
No, he grew up so poor.
Yeah.
They used to have one shoe. There were seven of them. They had a farm, mm-hmm. and they had barbed wire and duct tape shoes. And he said he got drafted into Vietnam. And I mean, he was.
So you think about all that stuff, and our children, they don't know any of that. Yeah. So they don't know what you can grow and build. I think. Mm-hmm. I think those foundations that you build are so much stronger than the ones you can just go get.
But I think that they grew because they had support and love.
They do. So
they had someone that was there to help them.
We went to dinner last night.
Because I don't think you can do it alone.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. Went to dinner last night and there was a huge family. There was a lady in a wheelchair she was turning 90.
Yeah.
With a tiara on. Loved her. So, by the way. And then there was the woman, her daughter, who was older than we 60, were. She must have been 70, in her 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So she had this beautiful little baby, 5 month old, and these two little boys. And, you know, she's talking like, oh, the baby. And anyway, come find out she's raising them. She has those boys. I didn't ask why.
The 90-year-old?
No, the
70-year-old.
But still, this was like a 5 month old and two little boys. She goes, we just got them from Wyoming. I'm raising them now. And I was like, but I was looking at their whole family. And
you're
I was
there's
like,
there's enough love here.
Yes,
this will work.
Is what. It's I mean, and it was a huge family. And I just remember thinking, gosh, that's what it is. You're all going to just be there for each other.
Yes. I love it.
And I think, you know, sitting at this, we are probably the last generation that grew up without cell phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being in our lives.
Yeah.
Every second. Yeah. I mean, the younger one, I tell my daughters, when we go to dinner, no cell phones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everything in life is here that you need to know about.
Yeah, be present because that takes you away.
Because I used to tell them when they were younger, girls, I want you to take a second look around the room. And I always talk, I'd say there'd be families and they're all doing this. Mm-hmm. They're not talking. You'll they're not communicating. Them. And I'm like, what? I want to know, how was your
crazy?
Day?
Crazy? This device is supposed to connect you with the world. It makes us so disconnected.
Well, do you know that they've done studies that even if you're not on your device, if you have my phone's right here and our phone's, if you can see your phone, it causes mental stress. And so they've done studies and kids actually if you want to improve your studying by 10 to 20%, have your phone out of sight in a different room.
Is that from the anxious generation?
I can't remember which one it was. It probably was. But it's if you want to improve, because just having your phone near you is mental. This is taking up mental
anguish.
Mental load.
Yeah.
You don't need a dictionary anymore.
You don't.
You don't need a Thomas Guide. J6.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
like you said, trying to find her house. Like,
well, and we have anxiety through the roof with our kids.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to put them away. Yeah. Be present.
I guess sometimes I'm callous. So there's times she'll tell me, because I grew up, you know, suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
I think all of, Generation X.
I mean, I love you with all my heart. And I said, but girls, nobody owes you anything and nobody cares.
Gen X, suck it up, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I have great daughters.
Yeah, I would be like, honey, you can't say that.
To girls.
Let me take care of this.
I was like, raised rather humble, too.
Go back to the girls.
And I have two that are super anxious, my girls. So I'm like, you can't say that. We have to deal with this.
And they'll come up to dad, we love you, but.
We love you, dad, but.
I was that dad that used to walk in the room and they'd be talking, they'd go. I go, okay, I'll go away.
Oh, it's every
change. Well, it takes those different parenting styles also. You know, you
it
help
does.
Each other.
Yeah.
Like, sure. You know, you add something into parenting that you don't, and vice versa.
Oh,
maybe
you'd
be a little harder. But then you're like, it's good, but soften it up just a bit. Exactly. And that makes perfect parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would come back from the oil field and I'm like, honey, you're not in the oil field now, so watch your mouth.
Well,
it wasn't so much that I had a potty mouth. It was more like when
the
you're with a bunch
say.
Of men,
oh,
my
yeah.
mentality was, how old are you? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm 32. And you're complaining you're making $140 a year and you don't want to work.
And how long was your education?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know.
Were you in medical school and a specialist school and this for 19 years?
Suck it up, buddy. You got to get out there and work.
Yeah.
Because if you're the weak chain, that means the 19 other guys got to work harder because you're not out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to watch guys. Okay, you were the last coming out. Guess what? You're going to be first coming out, or you're going to go back in the shop and you're not going to get your bonuses. Yes. So these guys were making $500 a day bonuses. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, you get out and make it happen. Maybe you ought to go sell Avon at Walmart. I used to get into them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not that that's degrading, you know what I mean?
And if you don't want to step up, if you don't want to step up, then I'm totally fine.
They talk to them differently. So I'd be like, leave it out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even in society, though, I mean, this is what's crazy is, you know, I want to be able to get rid of the weak links. Like, I hate to say it, like,
not necessarily. Does need to hear that. Yeah. There is a piece of that, that there needs to be maybe some harshness in reality of life.
Well, because, you know, when I see these young men, they don't open doors for elderly women and they don't teach. I always tell my daughters, if he doesn't open the door for you and he doesn't treat you like you walk on water, he's not worth it.
Oh, but do you want to know when? That's like the best thing about dating a Texan.
Yeah. They really no, it's true. The guys down there are a different breed. They are
they opened gentlemen. I didn't know. I did not. Yeah. I was like, I've had to be trained to like
to allow that, to accept it.
Like, it's true. So weird. Like, I'm like, you know, like, you know, because he's like, it's my job to help. You know, we're a team, and so he's like, I get to. It's my privilege to get to make sure that you're safe getting into your car. So I'm walking you over there.
It's weird to not be around that for so long. And then I was on a walk with a gentleman friend, and he made me walk on the inside.
Yeah,
of course.
He's like, here. I was like, what? Away from going the street. On? He kept pushing me over to the side. I was like, what?
And you know why? Okay,
exactly.
Because if a car comes out of control, I'm going to push you away from the car. Hold you.
And these are the same boys that if there's someone who's kind of janky on the inside of the street, they just automatically switch sides. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And I always make the girls walk in front of me. I want to see my life in front of me, not behind me.
Yes.
And like, if somebody like you, I used to get, you know, I don't have a problem punching you in your mouth if you're going to mess with my family. And I tell the girls, when you go out to your car, stop. Look under it. Make sure it's not feet.
Yes, exactly.
Don't be afraid to scream. Don't be afraid. If somebody takes you out, you bite, you kick, you punch.
You do not let them take you to a
second
location.
Hurt them so bad you can get away. Because once they get you in a van or something, it's, I love you. Oh, don't even think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. So, and again, when you say men, we need men.
Mm-hmm.
We also need women. We need girls. We need ladies.
We need both.
Without her, I'm not a man.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm nothing. I'm not. I'm just like, there's nobody to work for. There's nothing to be, you know? So as a man, you have to have a good woman because she makes me a better man.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, when all guys are together, we're like, duh. You know? I mean, I'm just going to say it. I mean, we're engineers, but we're all this, but so are women. But seriously, without it, I mean, she has literally helped me through life. I mean, introduced me to shepherd's pie, being a gentleman. You know,
I love priorities.
All the best things in life.
Priorities.
Food.
I love it. And beautiful music.
Yes. Yeah. Most definitely. I mean, I would never think that I had a daughter that sings beautiful opera.
Mm.
When she opens her mouth, just like Hannah. It's like, how is this our child?
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, she's got a good... You got a good woman.
So. Definitely.
I love it. You guys are amazing. I love it.
Thank you guys so much.
Oh, it's been so lovely hearing your story. I just was entranced by everything you had to say. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Just your guys' the way that you guys are together. I just, like, I don't think that people, I wish people, maybe we need to start recording. Because the way that people resonate when they're just sitting next to each other and the eye glowies.
I don't think about that. I guess, you know, it's like,
I want to say they're still dating even. They've got their community symphony this afternoon.
That's because there's no NASCAR nearby or anything.
But you can go to NASCAR.
So we're always questioning whether love at first sight truly exists. And then I meet a couple like you and I say, absolutely.
I didn't believe it. I always thought you, whatever.
I know, but it does.
It really does happen. I'm proof of it. I mean, I said, I love you first, just so you know. She was holding out.
Well, I mean, I remember,
I don't know. I mean, she 2 weeks and she was like, yeah, I'll marry you.
I do remember. She, like, this is something that stuck with me for like 15 years. That's so funny. I met you the first, you know, 15 years ago or so. And I was like, oh, we have to talk to Tara and Mary.
Oh, she was. Well, she's been telling us about how cute you are.
Your love story. So thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so remember, if you want us to interview you,
yeah,
or you want to ask us for bad advice, I mean good advice, or
any advice to talk about friends, that's what we do.
Yeah. Or have a book recommendation, you can go to our website, www.myperfectromance.com.
Yeah. It's legit, guys.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Valerie, what do you say?
XOXO.
Yeah. Right on. Thanks. Bye.